On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll see whose stock is moving with opening day arriving.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It worked great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Thursday, April 1st. I'm Al Melchior, and I'm here with Michael Beller, and you know what that means, Michael. It's April Fool's Day.
Yep, that's it. Is there anything else today? Anything? Anything else going on in our world, or is it just stupid jokes?
Yeah, well, spring training's been extended by a week, so.
Opening day! It's here, Al. We made it. Opening day. We're having baseball in April again? I mean, this is excellent. Nothing can dampen my enthusiasm about the day that we have ahead of us today.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Yeah, that's right. An opening day in April. We have not seen that in a couple of years. So good to be here talking about that. And let's get right to the news. And we'll talk about some players moving up and down in the stock watch and even some streaming options. So we'll get to it here and start with a couple of oblique injuries. George Springer, of course, this is one we've talked about quite a bit lately, but what I think we had presumed was going to happen has now happened. The Blue Jays have placed him on the injured list. Mm-hmm. So the question here then is, with that a certainty now, is it time to go and get Randall Grichuk? And just real quick here, you get him for the power, and he's got, with the Blue Jays, a 3-game series at the Yankees, another 3-game series at Texas, and then a 4-game series at home versus the Angels over the next week and a half.
Yeah, I think this is someone who's good to go after. And in fact, I actually just had a draft a couple of nights ago, and I ended up with George Springer on that team. I knew that he was going to be placed on the IL. Doesn't sound like it's going to be something that cost him too much time. And Grichuk, someone who's going to be on my radar, you know, once I am able to officially throw Springer into my IL, just because of getting to slot into the middle of that Toronto lineup. That lineup's going to score a ton of runs. Grichuk, we know, has the power, so I think he's someone who definitely can pay some dividends, even if it is just a, you know, 10 game or 14 game sample that you get out of him before Springer comes back. I think that's something that definitely could redound to your benefit. So I like Randall Grichuk. I will also say, Al, that I will be very interested to see what Charlie Montoyo does with his lineup while Springer is out. And assuming we see Kevin Biggio and Marcus Semien at the top of the order, can Biggio take advantage to the extent that he at least puts himself in his manager's mind as a top of the order guy? Because if he can bump himself up into one of those top two spots, and I don't think it's going to be for Springer, but if he can convince Montoyo that, you know, I should be hitting second and Semien should be hitting sixth, or I should be hitting first and Springer should be hitting fifth, and we can bump someone else down to Teoscar Hernandez or something like that, then suddenly we're talking about a different fantasy valuation for Kevin Biggio than I personally had all spring. So I think that'll be something interesting to watch while Springer's on the IL.
Yeah, that's a very interesting angle. So I'm glad that you raised that. Let's get to our other player who's been put on the IL with an oblique strain. That's Adalberto Mondesi. And he does not have a timetable to return, but obviously he's going to be out for a little over a week at minimum. That's been backdated to Tuesday, but you know, you're looking at him missing the short week and all or most of the following week afterwards. Now, you know, unlike with Springer, you don't have somebody who's, you know, like 12 team relevant filling in. You've got Nicky Lopez coming back to the major league roster after getting sent down, so he would stand to gain some playing time. But there are certainly options out there that you could get to replace at least some of that production at shortstop, including the stolen bases. Andrés Giménez, Elvis Andrus, Miguel Rojas, maybe if you're looking at kind of a deeper league there. Mm-hmm. Or if you're not particularly concerned about steals, Paul DeJong might be a waiver option for you at shortstop. Who interests you out of this group or maybe out of players I haven't mentioned?
Yeah, Giménez and DeJong both jump out at me. DeJong, we know exactly what he is, right? He's going to hit for power. He's going to get a lot of ABs in that Cardinals lineup. So if he's sitting out there for you, he's definitely someone who would probably be at the top of my list unless you really need this spot to be a stolen bases spot, which I would totally understand given the player who we're talking about vacating your lineup. I would totally get if stolen bases were more important to you than, you know, total picture And then I think Jimenez can be a guy who provides plenty of that and obviously is going to get every opportunity not only to start the year as the Cleveland starter at shortstop, but to hold on to that job. And obviously there are some options they can turn to if he fails at it, but I wouldn't bet on that being the case. So I do look at Jimenez being the guy to go to if you need steals more than anything, if you are just looking for overall player value and you're willing to eat the steals while Mondesi is out, DeJong would be my choice.
And if you really do need the steals and you don't necessarily need them at shortstop or middle infield, is there anybody out there that you would be looking for?
I mean, you know what? This could finally be the year for Garrett Hampson. And obviously there's middle infield here, but there's outfield eligibility. Yep. There's third corner in eligibility, depending on your league settings. At least he's going to get the opportunity. We can say that for him and we can move on. And then Jazz Chisholm, right? I mean, this could be the time for Jazz Chisholm too. He's going to get to start every day at second base for Miami. Maybe he takes off with it. He's someone who I missed out on in that draft on Tuesday night. And yeah, it was actually a salary cap draft. And I was a little bit kicking myself with how much I paid for Gavin Lux when I saw what some of the other lesser for sure second base options ended up going for, Jazz Chisholm among them. So this is someone who, there's a lot of reason to believe in the upside with Chisholm, and you love the fact that he's got the PT locked up.
Absolutely. And also with Chisholm too, check your league's eligibility, because he may be eligible at shortstop even in your league. He is on some platforms. So let's move on to some closer news. This is actually, I think, a pretty big deal that the Phillies have named a closer. I personally wasn't expecting that. I figured they'd go tandem maybe with Hector Neris and Archie Bradley, but Neris has got the job. And he's really out there, available in a lot of leagues, really to a degree that sort of surprised me. But then again, probably a lot of people were making the same assumption that it was going to be a timeshare situation for him at best. So is there any sort of league right now where people should not be looking to pick up Hector Neris?
I don't think so, Al. I mean, you know, saves are saves. And as long as your league uses saves and only saves, you got to take almost every nibble you can get that is available to you. Just a couple of years ago that he was pretty good, right? A 2.93 ERA, 28 saves for the Phillies in 2019, struck out nearly 12 batters per nine. So we know the skills are there. It has been a very up and down, like, 6-year career now for Hector Neris. But that underlying skill set definitely is there. So I don't think there's any league where he should still be sitting out there on the waiver wire after this weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, you talk about kicking yourself not picking up Jazz Chisholm. I kind of feel that way about Hector Neris now, because it's not only just the role uncertainty that kept me away from him in all of my leagues, but I really, in looking at his stat page today in light of this news, I really kind of magnified the two bad seasons for him. And one of them wasn't even really bad from a skills perspective. It was just more bad in terms of a low strand rate and just bad outcomes with good skills behind them.
A lot of homers
in one season in particular.
2018, but
So, but again, one season, that's kind of the outlier, and that surprised me a bit. So while Hector Neris, almost certainly will be gaining some new teams in the coming days, and he definitely should be. There are already players coming into opening day who are seeing their rostering rate go up. We're seeing some others going down, and not just players who, you know, are injured or players who got sent down. Some interesting names here, Michael. So let's start with a trio of players whose stock has been rising in the fantasy community: Carlos Rodon, Logan Webb, and Andrew Vaughn. So with Rodon and Webb, you know, you've got a couple pitchers who have something to prove. How do you feel about those two?
Yeah, Carlos Rodon, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm never going to be in on Carlos Rodon at this point. If it happens for him, awesome. I will tip my cap to him, to the White Sox, and to whichever one of my league mates has him. But we've had this rug pulled out from under us a number of times. So I hope it happens. Yeah, I'm never, ever, ever cheering for anyone to not get to their best case scenario, but I'm not going to buy into it myself. Logan Webb is interesting. And the main reason I find Logan Webb to be so interesting at the start of the season is that he has, Al, one of, if not the very best schedules to start the season. If everything stays lined up the way that the Giants have it lined up to start the season, he's going to get to face just some of the softest lineups in Major League Baseball over and over and over again. Over like his first four or five starts, he's going to get the Rockies a couple of times. He's going to get multiple starts in San Francisco. Both of those Rocky starts would come in San Francisco, so he wouldn't have to be braving Coors Field. And that might be a really nice way for Logan Webb to get into the season. I mean, we could be talking May before he faces an offense that really, really scares you. And that not only could get him off to a good start, maybe he increases his value to the point where he is tradable. There's just a lot of good to like about Logan Webb at the start of the year. So he's someone who I do find to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and just to provide equal time here, Rodon also potentially has a really nice schedule ahead of him with potentially multiple starts against Cleveland and Detroit in there. So, you know, both of them have that going for them. Now, Andrew Vaughn, I think probably the interest here is tied to Eloy Jimenez being out and Vaughn possibly moving up in the lineup. So how much should that matter?
I think it should matter. I mean, not only does it move him up in the lineup, but like it probably guards against any tiny bit of downside to him coming out of the lineup, right? Like if he started off the year struggling, maybe they would get him off his feet a little bit more, get him out of the lineup a little bit more. But now with both DH left field open, the fact that the White Sox actually are a pretty top-heavy team and don't have a ton of depth, and you're already talking about Jimenez being out for 4 to 5 months, like I think Vaughn's going to be in there basically every day for this team. So I think that it's an easy thing to explain why his stock is going up, but also totally justified. I think his stock should be going up, frankly, with the injury to Jimenez.
All right, and let's take a look at three players who have become less popular with us in the fantasy community. TJ Antone, basically getting squeezed out of that Reds rotation picture. JD Davis, who did not have a very good spring, and Lorenzo Cain, who got a late start to spring coming back from a quad strain. Is there anybody here we should be buying low on?
I think maybe Antone, you know, not JD Davis for me. I think that... I really actually don't get the enthusiasm for JD Davis. I think the Mets have a pretty well set lineup, and I just think he's going to be squeezed for playing time all year. Lorenzo Cain, I mean, I love the player. I absolutely love the player, but they went after Jackie Bradley for a reason. I wouldn't be surprised if we were talking about Lorenzo Cain and Avisaíl García being the guys who have to split time with Christian Yelich and Jackie Bradley Jr., the regulars in Milwaukee's outfield. So I just find it very scary. And, you know, the skill set, it just doesn't age well, right? He's a guy who has always made so much of his fantasy bones by stealing bases. And we were already seeing that regress a little bit. Then he opted out of the 2020 season. I just think there's a lot of concern for what Lorenzo Cain is going to be as a fantasy player for this season. But TJ Antone, I mean, the skill set is there. There's plenty of good foundation for him. And I just find it hard to believe that he is not eventually going to be a member of the Reds rotation. So he's someone who I would still feel pretty good about. Obviously not right away, and I wouldn't necessarily think you're out of your mind if you're dropping him after drafting him a couple of weeks ago when you thought he was going to be in the rotation. But he's someone who I would at least, at the very least, still have on a watch list or something like that, because I would bet dollars to donuts that he ends up in that Reds rotation eventually.
Well, I agree with you, and I am stashing him everywhere I have him. So Take that to the bank for whatever that
take
is
it to worth. The bakery.
All right. Well, you know, we are, as often as we can here on Fantasy Baseball in 15, going to take a look a day ahead and look at some streaming pitching options. So not a lot on the Friday slate. It's only 6 games, which is pretty unusual for a Friday, but, you know, opening week and all. So let's just look at three, narrow it down to three pitchers who might be available, who might have some value. Ryan Yarbrough, who gets the Marlins in Miami. Merrill Kelly, who's at San Diego, and then Johnny Cueto at the Mariners. Anybody that you like here?
Yeah, you could talk me into Yarbrough against the Marlins. Definitely not going against that San Diego offense right off the bat. And Cueto, I'll always love the guy. I have a soft spot for him. Had him a lot back in those Reds days, but the floor is low. The ceiling is low. At least Yarbrough has, a pretty decent chance at a win in this game against Miami. I feel pretty good about him being able to maybe get the win, get you some strikeouts, decent ratios. He's my favorite of the three.
Also, not surprisingly, the most popular of the three. So if he's not available, just might be a day to sit out the streaming pitchers.
But... which is always an okay thing to do. You don't have to stream.
That's right. That's right. Just because we're talking about it here doesn't mean you have to do it. Absolutely. So something to think about as we wrap up this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. If you are listening to this podcast on a platform that lets you leave a rating and a review, we are always very, very happy when you take the time to do that. So we thank you for doing that. And before we go here, just be sure to check out Ding You, presented by BetMGM. It's our March Madness show. Listen on the Daily Ding podcast feed or watch the show on YouTube. For Michael Beller, I'm Al Melchior. Enjoy your opening day, everybody. We will be back here on Friday.